Hey everybody, welcome back to the MMA Depress Test with me, Zane Simon, and my co-hosts, as always, Connor Rebush and Phil McKenzie.
That's us.
We were supposed to be here today with a very special treat for our viewers at home. We were going to watch the new Roadhouse, and Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor, a good fun time.
Well,
much joy would be had by all. And this was Connor's wonderful idea, a gift for all of you.
It was.
And then he showed up an hour and 15 minutes late. And so now, as punishment, he is forced Phil. This is, you know, not my fault at all.
Mm-hmm. Can't let you get away with this.
We are watching Masakazu Imanari's decision losses. Literally the worst idea I've ever had.
Literally, Phil and I have been a brave united front stopping you from doing this through clever manipulation for months. Months and months. Zane has been wanting to do this for like a year and a half. And we've stopped it from happening. And now it's my fault.
Yep.
Yeah, it's because we didn't have any time to select anything else. It's that we didn't have anything else to do because we're on a timer. And Zane was suddenly like, here's the turd that I've been thrusting under your noses every single time.
The turd that's been baking in my ass.
We have no time to try for anything else.
The turd I've been slow roasting in my colon for the last 2 years. It's fork tender.
I've been fermenting it like kimchi.
Ugh.
All
what you're
right.
Gonna hear in my voice is not just that I overslept and that I'm very groggy. It is also depression. I want that to be clear.
Meanwhile, I am feeling pure, unadulterated joy here.
Yeah, for now, bitch. Wait till you gotta watch the fights, too.
I will say, honestly, for a guy who's had a lot of losses in his career and a lot of bad decision losses, this was way harder to come up with three than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's because nobody will post them.
Yeah, I just thought they'd be out there.
It's because they're so bad, nobody will post the full video.
So we had to take two from one, Yusup Sadalaev and Kim Dai-Hwan.
Take and two then, from one. What is this, quantum mechanics? I don't know math.
And then one from Fight Pass, Masakazu Imanari versus Luis Firmino, Pride Bushido 5. So we're going to start out. We're going to do them in order. Luis Firmino, Sadalaev, and then Kim Dai-Hwan starting out on Fight Pass and moving over to YouTube. As with all these videos, every time we do this, we are going to start at the 0-0 position, the very beginning of the video. And I will count us in 3-2-1 play. And then we will all hit play. And Connor, if you are watching on any other medium, somehow, DVD, mind meld, whatever, Connor will try and tell you when round one begins. So we are all ready. Time for Luis Firmino versus Masakazu Imanari, Pride Bushido 5.
Yeah.
Starting in,
Yeah.
Okay, good. Glad you're prepared for this, Connor.
I'm ready.
Remember, you're to blame.
I know.
Starting in 3, 2, 1, go.
So what do you guys want to talk about?
Oh, I just watched the new, I just rewatched the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. And so we were talking to Phil about that.
Well, you guys have already discussed that. I mean, obviously, we're not going to talk about what we're about to watch for the next hour.
So. Also, does anyone else find it like increasingly weird the way that the UFC's blurb at the beginning of these things includes their copyright for As Real As It Gets?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Ever a point in the UFC's history where that has been a phrase that they have leaned on?
Yeah. I've wondered that myself.
It was. Early No Holds Bars, pre-Zuffa days, that was the catchphrase in the late era, in the dark ages.
They're still holding on to that copyright, huh?
Yep.
That's like when Ronda Rousey copyrighted Ronda in the House.
That's right.
I believe it was Rowdy Ronda Rousey is in the House.
Sorry, mine wasn't catchy enough. Okay, here goes round one. Yes, thank God.
More words, Connor.
Now, about this no, day. Not yet. Now, no round. Start now.
Hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that was it.
That was the
cool. That was the end of it. Yeah. Flying duck under a flying knee into instant hug.
It's pride grappling too, so get ready to see them pulled out from under the ring ropes 1,000 times.
Yep.
It's
pride production, so it's been the commentary has been recorded 8 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And Boss Rutten is pretending to be surprised by things that he has just watched 10 times.
Having watched Ronda Rousey in, I believe it was Fast and the Furious 7, I think, like, the loss of her being in Roadhouse, presumably as the Dalton character,
is a
loss. It's one of those things where I would love to go to the alternate timeline and watch that film as it got made, like the Nicolas Cage Superman or whatever.
Well, the fun thing for her to pop up like 3 years after it was made and just like absolutely slander everyone who worked on it and talk about how awful how much she hated it and how big a problem it was for her in her life.
She's so good at acting, presumably. That wasn't any part of the issue she was having with people on set.
I will say, having seen both of them again in Fast and the Furious films, Gina Carano is a much better actor than
Rousey. No question. No question.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is no question about that. Keith Jardine's a better actor than Ronda Rousey, and all he has is extra roles.
So I got to ask, though, since you're the only one of us who's seen the new Roadhouse, right, Connor?
Yeah.
Is Conor McGregor a better actor than Ronda Rousey?
I've never seen Ronda Rousey act.
Oh, no. It's amazingly awful.
He is bad. But the more time that passed after seeing the movie, I'm not going to spoil it all because I will get you guys to watch this one of these days, but it'll be a better time than what we're doing now. I promise you that. He is very bad. He's incredibly wooden. He only makes one face all the time, which is his crazy grin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I believe in my review, I said it's like he's pulling the face you used to make your aunt laugh when you were 10. Ooh! Yeah. That's his scary psycho face.
Mm-hmm.
He does the Vince McMahon walk literally everywhere all the time.
Of course. I just love the idea that he was out there after the movie, just tweaking out of his mind, but also doing interviews and saying like, oh, we did like 20 takes of my scenes because I'm such a versatile actor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's why I did 20 takes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they were doing 20 takes.
Yeah, Jake only had to do two or three takes because he's not interesting.
Yeah, he can't play it all the different ways that I can play it. So he only had to do it one or two takes. But me, I gave him something different every time. They kept asking me to do it again.
Yeah, I hope demanding, you've got a, like the Conor McGregor channels like Shakespeare cut somewhere.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, it would be like the Jack Donaghy trying to record a commercial.
Right.
Yeah, 100%.
How do I do the Vince McMahon walk again? Is it like this or like this?
He's got two coffee cups in his hands.
Yeah, it's actually not the Vince McMahon walk. That is just Connor not remembering how he walks when he's not on camera.
Right. He actually has never seen Vince McMahon walk ever. Actually, just that he gets so in his own head that he can't remember how to walk. And so that's why he needed the movement coach.
It's either walk like that and make that face or cry. Yeah, that's why he needed the movement coach. They're gonna record me for these, so I'm gonna need your help.
Teach Conor McGregor how to walk on camera.
If you're under the impression that Dalton teaches anybody to do anything, you're gonna be sadly mistaken. That's just one of the many things that will crush you about this movie, Zane, in comparison to the original.
Yeah. Bad Dalton is like, why?
Yeah, loser Dalton. Dalton.
That's what I meant by sad. I meant, like, why would you want a loser version of the coolest guy in the universe?
He's pathetic. The villain's pathetic. Conor McGregor is the only cool guy in the whole movie, which is what I was going to say. He's really very bad.
Yeah.
But he's bad in a way that nobody else in the movie is. Everyone else is merely trying to faithfully deliver a really bad script. Mm-hmm. Conor McGregor is like memorably bad. But so he's like actually Nicolas the Cage. Best. He's the best part of the movie. What did you say about Nicolas Cage, you little bitch? Nicolas Cage isn't bad.
He can be,
but Nicolas Cage is a diverse actor. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's trying something when he's bad. I respect Nicolas
Cage. Usually when he's bad, he's got a director that's just like, we've got $100,000 to make this movie. We've hired you for 15 minutes. Here are your lines. Just go as wild as possible.
Yeah.
And then you get a Nicolas Cage performance where you're like, okay, this is just hammy.
This is hammy.
This is the thing, is that you can watch a very forgettable film with Nicolas Cage in.
Yes.
I saw some kind of magician's one. Was it like the Sorcerer's Apprentice or something?
Oh yeah.
Terrible. But whatever. He's still gonna turn his. Mm. He will turn the dials up to a level, whatever film he is in. Sounds like at least Conor McGregor has turned the dials up, even if it's not like a recognizable human performance.
Yeah.
I was shocked by how bad he was, but as time passed, I realized he's the only thing in the movie that was fun.
Yeah, that's sad. That's so depressing.
That's a good way to describe the movie. Yeah.
It will be worth us to watch it for the MMA Depressed Us. I would still like to. I have. If we can do it in the next 30 days before my free prescription to a subscription rather to Amazon Prime.
Look, if we can't, I will buy, rent, or get you a month's prescription. I owe you that for making you wait today. That is my.
After this, you don't owe me anything.
No. This is. I mean, look, we're literally not even paying attention. So, like, I'm fine right now. for those listening, or we are watching, quote unquote, the first of three Masakazu Imanari fights,
where he just falls over every time somebody comes near him, and
we just haven't mentioned it once.
It's not even pulling guard.
No, yeah.
He's just jumping energetically onto his back.
Yeah, he's like, palsying guard.
It's like pulling guard is when you actively wrap up your opponent.
The Benny Hill of guard pulls.
Yeah. It's when you, you know, you wrap your opponent up and then you try and pull them to the ground and then use that to transition to something else. But he's, yeah, he's literally just jumping onto his back whenever Firmino gets near him.
It's definitely the experience of having like a precocious child who becomes annoying like 3 hours before they get tired. Look what I can do. And he's like jumping on the fucking couch. And you're like, it's kind of cute 3 times.
Yeah.
And he just won't stop.
Oh, he's, and he's just jogging in a circle. What for?
Has he considered trying a takedown? That would be an interesting change of pace.
What was the thought process there?
He seems like the most fighter who determines exactly how hard he's going to fight based on the physical abilities of his opponent. Fighter of all time. Where, like, he's very Bob Sapp.
Yeah.
Where, like, Bob Sapp would get in there, take one punch, and be like, okay, I'm just going to fall down. I don't need to do this. And Imanari, he will go in there and go for one takedown or pull guard once or something like that and try to get a submission. And after that, it's just like, you know, I'm just not going to stand up. I'm not going to try to do anything that gets me hurt.
It's kind of pathetic, actually, now that I think about it.
It is a little.
Because, like, he knows it's not working, and he knows it's, like, a trick. It only works right away.
Yeah.
And he just, like, won't try anything else.
It is. I mean, there's a reason that I felt like Imanari should be part of the MMA Depressed Us at some point.
You were right.
Have we done a Bob Sapp career retrospective?
I think we talked about it. Did we?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we did.
Surely we must have watched 85 videos to fill an hour.
Yeah, that's the problem.
If somebody out there could put together a compilation, this is a call to the fans, put together a compilation in which we see the entire fight, including all like 40 of Bob Sapp's 30-second losses.
We did Bob Sapp versus Hongman Choi. Oh. And we did Bob Sapp in Ryzen. So we did a couple of his Ryzen
fights. That's right. We did the one like, didn't he do a kickboxing match that we did?
Mm-hmm.
Against the big fat judo guy?
Yeah.
I remember that. I think we ran into that problem though, where like,
yeah, what can you do?
None of these are long enough.
Yeah. We could do one episode of Bob Sapp's entire career.
Yep. Okay, you could describe what Imanari has done in the beginning of this round as being attempting to win.
Yeah.
He has been going.
He tries, like, at the beginning of every round once to kind of shock people. And then it's just, you know, this.
Yep.
I mean, it's the same move every time. Like, he knows it's not going to work.
I just love that he has turned that into an MMA thing enough that, like, Firas Zahabi saw it and was like, but what if all of our fighters did that?
Yeah.
No kidding. I was literally just thinking that as well. How could you watch this and then be like,
this is the new cutting edge in MMA.
Fighters focus mostly on the high elbow guard for catching right hands.
And the very over when you kick
for MMA. The jab, the double leg takedown, and this.
MMA coaches are some of the most brain-thinking expert people out there. Like,
yeah, it is proof that Firas Zahabi is actually very stupid.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
We've changed stance. We're going to do a different, more awkward type of Imanari role now.
George St. Pierre was so great that I'm actually kind of amazed that we all figured Kavanaugh out as fast as we did.
Yeah.
That, like, Zahabi got to ride that way for like a decade.
Well, Zahabi got dumber.
Yeah, that too.
He post GSP. I think it also helped that he wasn't riding all the GSP hype, even because like Greg Jackson was getting a ton of shine from GSP, and Greg Jackson loves the spotlight. Zahabi sort of at the end of GSP's career became recognized as the man behind George, and then I think he became more prominent, and it probably inflated his sense that he could do no wrong.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because he did
produce lots of good faces. There is a
big difference between the fighters that TriStar produced and the fighters that SPG Ireland has produced. There is a much more.
Yeah.
They are much better, more coherent.
When we start chatting an hour and a half ago.
Huh?
What's that?
Phil was full of life when we started chatting an hour and a half.
I know. Now he's yawning. It is my fault. I am sorry. That should just be, instead of us talking about movies and whatever else is actually marginally interesting, I should just apologize.
That's the whole show. It's just
one. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to watch an hour of Masakazu Imanari losing badly, and I'll apologize. I'm sorry.
Keep going.
I'm sorry. It's going to sound less sincere the more I do it.
Zahabi became much worse over time in multiple ways.
Yes.
And I had a that's what she said locked and loaded, but I was not.
I didn't say I'm sorry enough.
No. It's going to become less sincere the more I say it.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. She never said I'm sorry to me, so it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
I told you weren't going to have a good time, motherfucker. You've been begging this. Phil and I have been protecting you from yourself all this time.
That's right. This is one of three.
And you know they're all going to look exactly like this.
Exactly like this. Oh, that was interesting. Ooh, look, Mara.
The Imanari roll added extra rotation that time.
This is my rickety cricket moment for the MMA depressed us.
This is you resenting your parents for keeping their gun safe locked. God, they're such bummers.
I was a normal guy when all this started, and by the end I'm going to be straining grain alcohol through burnt toast in a back alley.
Oh, I'm watching the highlights. Oh, that's pretty exciting. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, look. Down goes Imanari. He's certainly falling over there. Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yep. That knee bar is definitely, there's no knee in there. That is.
But hey, guys, I mean, we may have wrapped up this first fight and no longer get Boss Rutan half-heartedly.
Oh, that was it. I forgot. It's Bushido. Yay!
After this, though, it's going to be Chavela. So, you know.
I like Chavela.
All the good night Irene's.
Yeah, I like Chavela. He's no different than Mauro.
No, he's not. He is an announcer, though, that just, like, at some point only became a catchphrase.
Yeah, he used to be better. Back in like the early K1 days and stuff, yeah. I think he was a little more involved.
Yeah. These days it's just good night, Irene.
Yeah.
All right. So are we watching the next one of these?
Yeah, that's it.
Redeemable piles of crap.
Great. Zane, which one's next?
Lion of Imanari over on YouTube.
Yusup Sadulayev.
You boys ready for the fun? Be so good ready. Time. come on, see, I'm still having fun.
You're lying to yourself. We can tell. You're not fooling anybody.
The mask is back on.
He's not going to be able to athletically throw himself at the floor anymore.
Yeah. Now he's old. But now it'll just be teetering over.
It's going to be exactly that fight, but we're going to hear his joints popping.
All right. Yusup Sadulayev, Masakazu Imanari, starting in 3, 2, 1, go. Something special, guys. Come on.
This one started right when Zane said go, by the way, but you figured that out if you're watching the same YouTube video.
They actually cut out the first, 5 seconds of the fight for some reason.
Yeah. It's impossible. It's virtually impossible to find a one fight where they actually include the full fight.
No MMA promotion loves their product as much as one.
Mm.
Except for Combate, maybe. Campbell McLaren seems to spend almost all his time complaining about how nobody loves Combate.
Yeah.
Rather than actually promoting Combate.
I'm serious. Looking at one, looking at stuff like that, having watched the last PFL event, it honestly makes it much harder to blame the UFC for their monopoly.
Honestly.
How could they not have a monopoly? There's so many boxing promoters, all of whom are equally scummy.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys aren't just equally scummy. They're idiots. They suck at the job. The PFL event was a joke. Did you watch it?
I watched a little of the last one, but I've watched enough of them to...
There were no less than 5 occasions where it was between fights and they were just had the camera on the empty cage, the arena establishing shot. With just the music that was in the arena playing and the commentators being completely unaware that they were on a hot mic.
Oh, God, yes, I heard about that.
And just, talking to the production truck. He was like, oh, Patricio's getting into the ref. Can we get Big John to fill time? I was like, no, please. Anybody but Big John to fill time.
Right? You already had to take him off commentary and put him in a purely rules-explaining role. Because... he cannot be a commentator. I feel bad about it too. I don't know if you ever have, but I've actually had a couple of conversations with McCarthy. Interviewed him a couple times, and he's a really helpful, friendly.
I think so. I think he's just a bad commentator.
Yeah,
he's just so bad at the job. He takes it way too seriously. He has no idea how to be interesting to listen to.
Yeah,
and he has a Neil deGrasse Tyson style impulse.
Yes.
To explain what is actually happening.
And the worst part is that he often does that in a way where he's not even necessarily explaining the right or interesting things.
He's often wrong, like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
To access the bonus content of this episode, you must be a paid subscriber. To do that, go to themmadrawpodcast.substack.com and subscribe today.